I'm sitting in a bucket seat behind 12 litres of sort of 300 horsepower V8, and I'm never quite sure whether my brakes are going to make it to the end of the race or not.
When I was about 14, we bought some farm buildings and there was a BSA Bantam in there, a little British motorbike, which was in the right state. It was still at school, so I took it back to school. They had a great little workshop. I took it apart, rebuilt it, put it back together. And literally, it's the simplest thing in the world. And once you've done that, it gives you the confidence to then go on. This is my magnificent Amilcar Hispano, 1930 chassis, 1914-15 First World War aeroplane V8, 12 litre, 200 horsepower, lots of torque, 2-speed chain drive gearbox. There are some vintage cars which are complicated, which are stunning and we all absolutely love, but if you're going to work on it in your own shed, it's a lot easier if it's simple. The fact that you can work on it yourself means that you've got that faith in it when you go out and racing it. If you've literally taken the whole thing apart, put it back together, you know how it works, which is the whole key to being confident in the car. You know every single bit that goes up and down and round, whereas a modern car, I wouldn't know where to start. I'd need a computer or a laptop or something to work on my modern car. So the thing about Goodwood is that it's a much faster track than the tracks we normally race on, the Donington, Silverstone, Mallory Park, Ault Park. They're relatively short tracks. This car is geared so that it actually is flat out before it gets halfway down the straights on the normal tracks. So this car has two gears. It has bottom and top, first and second. And in top, it's going to be over revving. Well, I'm 100 yards out of the corner. So I've got to raise the back axle ratio. So the next job is take all this gear off, take the chain off, get that sprocket off, and then machine this up so that we can fit it. That sprocket's going in there. When you go to a race meeting, it's kind of madness, really. There's all things kicking off, you know, people breaking down, helping each other, someone's fixing someone's car. There's that buzz all the while when you're racing.
I have to get the oil pressure up. So I have to take the plugs out to crank the engine over, otherwise the battery goes flat.
Because I live in the country, I think I'm very lucky because I think your calm is something that's easy to find. I want to get out there at weekends and rag around the track, as opposed to being all quiet and falling asleep under a hedge like I do on the farm half the time. I suppose I got involved with my father with his cars. He was quite an enthusiastic driver, so we'd go out with him and, you know, the mudguards would be flapping up and down and we'd be going, come on, Dad, go quicker, go quicker. We just progressed from there, really. And I think the VS Vintage Sports Car Club was where we grew up. And going to Silverstone and watching the racing there. When you're young, whatever you do that is exciting stays with you, doesn't it? I think we're all the same. If you get fired up by it, you just know it never leaves you, does it? There's something about old cars. There's more going on, isn't there? You're out in the air and they smell and they're noisy and they rattle and they're just brilliant things. My brother went 1275 Mini Racing and I went along and watched that. And then he kind of progressed from that into old cars. But it wasn't going to be tootling around in chuffy, you know, slow things. It had to be rip-snorting monsters because that's where the fun was. The idea was to build something that would scare you. That was the whole idea, really. I call it the Amilcar Hispano because you've got an Amilcar chassis with a Hispano sweeter aeroplane engine. The Amilcar bits are the chassis and the front axle and the brakes. That's the basic Amilcar bit. The Hispano Suiza is obviously the engine, which is a 12-litre V8. Fabulous engine out of a 1914-15 or First War fighter plane or a bomber, and a completely unbelievable step forward in design of the internal combustion engine. It went from being rather feeble side valve engines in 1910, 1911, 1912. And then 2 years after that, Mark Birkett designed this engine, which is just must have been like a space age thing when it came out. That's why they were preserved. You know, in the 30s, everything started to get mass produced and was going downhill. And I think people thought that they would just disappear. And then because they've been preserved, the fact that they're beautifully made means that they're just going to last. So it's a wonderful motor to have in the front of your vintage racing car. The rest of it is Fraser Nash type dog and sprocket chain drive back axle. Really, as a combination of possibly one of the lightest vintage racing cars around with probably sort of one of the most powerful engines. So it gives it this unique character of huge speed. With only two gears, you don't have any kind of revviness. You just clock it into bottom, off the line, bang it in top, and you have to put your foot down. It's like being on a massive bungee. You're just launched down the track. Like I said earlier, the only slight issue being the brakes, which aren't particularly big. We were racing at Angoulême, which is a little French circuit. The Amilcar struggled because it's very fast, and then you slam the brakes on, then you accelerate, you slam the brakes on, and the brakes overheated. And there was smoke pouring off this drum brake, which I think is why it got so hot that it went rusty. I think I've cooked it. The main thing is, if it goes wrong, you've got to fix it. If you haven't fixed it, then you're not trying hard enough. And when you fix it and it works, that's very satisfying. Between the First War and the Second World War, at places like Brooklyn, so they were doing it all over Europe as well, they were tending to get these war surplus aeroplane engines, which are wonderful bits of engineering, putting them in cars, and then using those to break records and go racing in. The thing about an aeroplane engine is designed to be powerful, light, and generally reliable, because that's what you want in a plane. And you couldn't expect anything better to go into a racing car. It would never have been made for a car because it would have been so expensive. They are, engineering-wise, they are just, they would cost so much to make, you could never justify putting one in a car. But of course, they came out of scrap yards after the war, and they were just lying about, and the best thing you could do for a car is to stick one of these amazing aeroplane engines in. There's a definite sense of history when you're working on something that you think has got an engine that's out of a First World War fighter plane. So what was that engine doing? It's 104 years ago. You never know quite where your engine came from, but I've read a little bit about the history of the planes in the First World War, which is they were kind of like they were the playboys of the time, the pilots who literally went out and half of them never came back. When you think that 10 years before they'd hardly even learned how to fly in these weird glider things. In fact, then they designed these incredible planes for the First War, and this engine, of course, could have just been in a Spad with some French madman trying to shoot down the Red Baron. I mean, that's just what this engine would have been doing, which is quite something when you think, I've got it in the front of my car and I'm burning around the track. This is a little car with a big 12-litre aeroplane engine in it. As a combination of parts, it is almost unbeatable, probably. For me, the best vintage racing car in the UK or in the world. It's just the most extraordinary thing. Some people think we're mad going as fast as we're doing cars with no roll bars and anything like that. But I mean, it's a funny thing. It doesn't really bother if you're into it. You just do it, and I don't know where it comes from.